Father, we thank you again for your precious word. We've come expecting you to feed us, Lord, and to take the manna of your word and feed us, that we might be better women, better friends, better neighbors, that we truly would live for you. Lord, it's so easy to live for you when we're surrounded with others that are like-minded. Often when we go home, we can't put it together. We need to work harder to be that light in this dark world. Now teach us, Lord. Still, and we're waiting to hear from you this morning. And we'll just simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever come across something in Scripture and you say to yourself, I wonder what that means, or do you think so? I often think that God put man in a garden, and man put himself, by chapter 4 of Genesis, into a city. What is our biggest problems today are our cities. You know, we've had so much robbery and killing and so on. It's really hard to look at it, but that's man without God. Anyway, I like to think about things like that. But I won't give it to you in a lesson, because I don't have an answer. So, well, Nehemiah knew that the nation of Israel would or could never be strong as long as Jerusalem was weak. And I'm thinking about that today, because Jerusalem is surrounded by Muslims. It's still going on. The people needed to be willing to sacrifice themselves. And there's actually three sacrifices in these two chapters. The people needed to be willing to change and to help out. Well, now we start in 11:1. Now that the walls and the gates were restored, it was important that the Jews live in their capital city and make the population increase. Why? People were needed to protect the city, because they didn't know the next time when the enemy would come full bore right into the city. It was probably a lot safer living in a little village. And I can see myself, you know that saying that goes around, and if a wife isn't happy, no one is. I would have been the first to say, well, that little village down the way, I think that'd be a good place to live. And husband, being a loving husband, would drag her down there and start building a home. Lots safer. See, there's no threat there to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were the ones they always had to look out for. You know, it's an awesome thing to think about that. It wasn't until 1948 that they even owned part of Jerusalem. I just find that amazing. It's been ever ongoing. And of course, this is the temple that Herod got all decorated up, trying to please the Jews. Well, someone had to take the risk. I kind of got amused at that, because then we went right into a long list of names. And I was getting a little bit tired of all these long lists of names. And I asked the Lord, how come you keep throwing in all these names? The Lord really indicated to me that there was a real purpose in it. And it's maybe my one complaint about churches, is that people do a lot of work in them, and perhaps you've done a lot of music, or you've done Sunday school, or you've done VBS. You've been very involved, and no one noticed it. I'm sure everybody here has run into that. It's very easy not to be thanked. And I feel that that's due to upper echelons should be giving out a lot of thanks. So if you're sitting here and you're bummed out because no one thanked you, that's what these names are here for. And that gave me a whole different look as to why he keeps giving us all these lists of names. Because they were important. They had done a lot of work. And Nehemiah didn't want to lose them, or lose sight of the fact that they were important. Chapter 7 lists those returning with Zerubbabel. And chapter 8 records leaders that were involved in the Bible conference at Watergate. And chapter 10, 84 men that sealed the dedication of the covenant. And there you go. And then we're back into it again with more names. If you were trying to read through this like a novel, you probably got stuck with those names. So, but that was Nehemiah's evidence of sincere appreciation for those who assisted. Each individual was named. Each individual was important. But you know what? If you've done a big job in some church and nobody's thanked you, know that your Heavenly Father knows every bit about it, and He will reward you. And that reward will be, I think, a lot more significant than anything that humans could come up with. But you know, I was thinking about it too. If they didn't want to live in Jerusalem, would they really be loving God? Because that was His city. It was His holy city. They'd want to live there, I would think. Only they were being a witness to the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles didn't like the Jews getting together in mass like that because they were threatening. And we've met some of those fellas. Remember the Three Stooges? I always try to bring some humor into it. Well, it doesn't make too much sense to build a city if you don't plan to live there. So after all, God brought back the remnant from way over there. Remember all the kings we studied under David? And now they're being brought back. So He wanted to honor the people working. And I just found a whole new caring for Nehemiah about it. So how was he going to go about getting people to live in Jerusalem? First, he tithed the people. He said, where does it say that? Well, he took 1 in 10 and said, you're living in Jerusalem. And of course, then I always make it personal. And then I go home and say, guess what? We're moving. And I think my husband and I looked at each other way back when we moved and said, we'll never do this again. It's a horrible thing to move. So at least probably these people didn't have as much junk as we do. And we said, oh, we'll never fill up the basement or, you know, the garage. That's where most of our junk goes. Anyway, these people had moved out. They didn't really want to be a part of Jerusalem because it was kind of scary. I don't know if you ever watch Home and Garden on TV, but they had a deal where these people were moving into areas of Israel. And the mother went along with the daughter and said, I want to know where your fallout shelter is. I want to know where my daughter will be protected in case of bombs. I thought that was kind of a novel way of selecting a house. Give me a shelter. But that's still happening today over there. I can't imagine. I don't think I'd want my daughter to live there because she was single and then probably had the mother had something else behind her thinking of having her daughter move there, but as mothers do. Anyway, some of the Israelites volunteered to live in Jerusalem. Others had to be drafted, and others had to be tithed. And I thought that was interesting. 1 out of every 10% were to relocate in Jerusalem. You imagine how many boxes you would have. And then you never can find things. And then when you try to find things, they fall out of your car or your truck or whatever and break. So moving is tough. But they needed to relocate. And there's a real important principle there is that we need to give our bodies to the Lord so that He can work through them. Now, mine is shot. We keep working on it, huh? A little more makeup, a little more healthy food. But the point is you give your body to the Lord so that He can work through it. Each person is important just like here in Nehemiah, we keep running across these names. Remember that. Each person is important, not only to Nehemiah, but to the Lord. And don't you want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? And I'm just grateful that I've got all these problems, because it really slows me down. Not even to a crawl, because my knees have gone out. You try to get going in one way and something else happens. I don't know about you. I have more doctor appointments than you would believe. Giving your body to the Lord is so important. It's really significant. Also, if you belong to the Lord, you should be praying for your civil authorities. I don't know when was the last time you prayed for President Trump or Governor Brown, and you say, well, I don't like them. That's not what God said. And he says, pray for your leaders or you won't have a very quiet life. It's important every day to give them to the Lord. Whether they change or not is not our problem. Obedience is. Well, then the people had trouble with loyalty. They wanted to be loyal to the king of Persia, at the same time be loyal to Nehemiah, and they felt like they were going against him if they were loyal to one or the other. This made it difficult for Nehemiah to get people to move into Jerusalem. And so the next portion of scripture really deals with praise. And I can't emphasize that enough. And here this was written so long ago, and yet Nehemiah talks about praise and joy. That hasn't changed. We need to learn to give our praise to the Lord. You say, well, it's all not very good at my house. Great, praise the Lord for it, because it'll free you up. It will give you encouragement that you didn't even know you had, just by praising the Lord for this or for that or whatever. I mean, it's really hard. Know this, that is a sacrifice of praise. Yeah, I don't like all my health issues, but they're there. You deal with them. You go forward and you give praise to the Lord. Praise him for it before you lose it. Well, I've got this is okay. And I had my eyes examined this week and they were okay. I thought, got a couple of good things. And that's so unusual for me. Oh dear, but learn to do that every day. And maybe the best time is when you go to bed. You can go back through the day and give the Lord praise for this and this and this and this. Make it a habit. Because then, when it's really tough, and you're thinking about a sacrifice of praise, it'll be so much easier to come out, because it's your habit. Giving our praise to God, such an important thing to do. Did you realize that singing or joyful praise is mentioned 8 times in this section? And that thanksgiving, depending on your translation, 6 times. It's just full of it. So they get these 2 choirs together. And did you notice, too, that the choirs were paid? But they split them up. Why did they split them up? Because they were going to have a parade. I mean, it's just so simple. And they were going to play their instruments and sing. And the joy was just overwhelming. So one would go around the walls on one side, and the others would go around the walls on the other side. The enthusiasm and the joy and the singing and the shouts, they could hear it all the way to Fresno. And I thought about that. I entertain myself while I'm doing the lesson. I thought, what if that could ever happen? If they could hear us all the way to Tahoe or all the way to Fresno. Wouldn't that be something, people praising the Lord? But it was a dedication time to the Lord. The work had been done. This was the correct order, because someone pointed out, one of our leaders pointed out yesterday, that as you were marching around, you could see the area where you worked on the wall. Wouldn't that be encouraging? You'd probably sing a little louder. It's so neat having a march around. I think the last time I saw a march was, well, not the Rose Parade, but my granddaughter was in a march. That was pretty interesting. So they split them in two, and then half of them walked around. Do you think the Lord didn't see any of that? No, he sees all of it. He records what his children do. So you might be so discouraged because maybe you just gave a cup of cold water, or maybe you helped the neighbor next door. Maybe you just felt like nobody saw it, and the Lord says, I see everything like that. And even if others don't recognize it or appreciate it, your ministry, whatever it might be, you can be sure that God knows all about it, will reward you accordingly. I just have to say that a couple of times because I know how easy it is to be overlooked, and we need to encourage one another. Well, a variety of people were needed for the temple ministry, and I was really surprised to find out there was about 300 men appropriately guarding the temple. So when you ask, well, how did they take care of those people? Well, that's what this tithing does. You take it to the temple. Some of the meat is kept. Why? For the priests, for the guards, whoever. And they have something to eat. So don't think everything got burned up. It didn't. Just some of it. If you really want to know, read Leviticus. And then you'll find out what gets burned up and what doesn't. But a variety of people were needed. They used priests, Levites, maintenance men, and it was all done under prayer and praise. That was real protection, I thought. And those offerings were stored in the temple. Have you ever looked at a map of the temple? You can see there's a lot of maintenance rooms or rooms that you think, what do they do with those? Well, they stored things in them. And I was thinking, too, that the temple had a lot of gold in it. And it would be tempting for Gentiles to kind of help themselves to that. So it was good that they had guards and they were protected. It took many people with many skills to maintain the ministry in Jerusalem, and especially to keep it safe. You know, there I would be out there saying, well, I think the village would be safer. No, they were living in the city. And you have to remember, now, it had a wall around it, and people lived in the wall, and there was other homes inside. It's quite different from the way we live. Well, and the professional musicians, and they praised the Lord, but also women and children, and they all were joining and singing. It's so wonderful to come in here before class starts and hear the worship songs. It's just beautiful. And I'm so glad that we've gotten into so many hymns. So everybody was involved. The word at the Watergate was that Bible conference. So it was only right now that they expressed their worship. The word and worship go together. They must go together. Otherwise, churches that don't encourage worshiping, then the people are just sitting there, I was going to say like vegetables, no, like spectators. And we miss out on most of the blessing. Must have time for worship. And sometimes that's more than singing. As we pointed out, it could be heard afar off. How neat that would be. So the third thing that we need to remember is to give our gifts to God. Don't forget, these people had signed a covenant. 84 men had signed a covenant in our lesson before. And so they're going to be held to it. And these gifts need to go to the Lord. They support the temple ministry, and they were keeping their promises. Do they keep it up? No. Go to the next lesson, and you'll find they don't keep it up. But it went to support the temple workers so that they could eat. You know, how else would that happen? They couldn't work because they didn't have land. They didn't have a place to cultivate. And Nehemiah told them they needed to be in Jerusalem. So they were counting on the people feeding them. And so they brought their tithes and their offerings to the priests. Not because it was a commandment of God, because the priests and the ministry there pleased them. It's so easy to give if the pastor or deacons or whatever in your church please the people. You just want to give. And I was thinking about that. I could give you a whole list of people that are strictly in it for the money. And how they bring down the honor and the glory of the Lord. It's I've been watching it a long time because I'm very old. They were on television, and I guess they've all been exonerated or forgiven because they're still doing their ministry and going to the bank every Monday. But what was good about this situation here with Nehemiah is that they're using David and Solomon's directions for what to do, how to give out the food, and so forth. They weren't creating their own ideas. I think we've seen a lot of creation today. That's why I enjoy hearing the hymns. It's going back and remember the good stuff. Now, when believers have a godly ministry that exalts the Lord and obeys the word, people are all too glad to bring their tithes and offerings to support it. Not a worldly ministry. Not a thing of put the money in the pocket and go to the bank. It's strictly to lift the Lord. And if no money comes in, that's fine. It's supporting the ministry. And what I like about our class so much is that we're from so many different churches. So when I say anything about a church, you know I'm not saying anything specifically about this church, but churches in general today. But when God is in something, the people give joyfully and gratefully, not grudgingly or out of necessity. I think Hudson Taylor said it so well. He used to say, when God's work is done in God's way, for God's glory, it will not lack God's support. Neat. And we've just kind of, churches have gotten very withdrawn. That's why I like so much this little group, because we're from everywhere. And the leaders, too. Anyway, that's a neat thought. But first, before we can bring our material gifts to the Lord, we must bring or give ourselves to Him. And you say, well, I'm pretty shot, or I'm heading for a hospital bed, or whatever. But give it to the Lord, what's there. You'd be surprised how much God can use you wherever you are. You know, I've got a little ministry going now at dialysis because I'm there 3 times a week. People are needy everywhere. And if you get dragged into a hospital, keep your eyes open. Who knows who God wants for you to speak to. But first we've got to give ourselves to Him. We're so often caught up with me, myself, and me that we lose sight of the people around us. And before we can give our gifts to the Lord, give yourself. You know, if I were a rich person, I could give a lot of money to the church and then just go on my sinful way and no problem. But how much more important it is. Things need to be in order. First, we sacrifice ourselves. Second, we give a sacrifice of praise. I would hope it's praise all the time. And then we bring our gifts to the Lord. Even a small gift. Even the Lord said, a little drink of water. How important that is. Well, this chapter's as much as I resented all those names again, still had a lot to teach us. And that's where that little verse in your lesson in Luke, don't just skip over that, because God wants to teach you. He wants to be your all in all. And so I don't have time for that. Gotta get in the lesson. You'll miss something that God wants to teach you if you do. Interesting. I'm anxious to meet Nehemiah. It'll be an interesting time, and I have lots to thank him for. Father, we thank you again for Nehemiah, how you taught him. And so much of how you taught him was on his knees. Teach us to do that, Lord, to be on our knees about our loved ones, about our neighbors, about the government. We've got a job to do. Help deliver us from being all caught up with self. We just thank you, Lord, that we can. We can turn our lives over to you. We can give our praise to you. And we can give our gifts to you. Lord, you've made it so easy. And yet we struggle with so much. Pray for our ladies, Lord. We have quite a few that are out sick. We pray for their strength, that you might strengthen them, that you might bring healing. We pray for someone like Nancy, Lord, that is really under it right now. Lift that burden, Lord. Encourage her. May your presence be with her and others, Lord, that are struggling. We feel for them. But Lord, if there's anyone here today that hasn't given themselves to you, that just has religion, help them today before the day is out to get on their knees and tell you that they want to be your child. They don't want just religion, they want you and how wonderful you are when you speak to us and encourage us. And there's some here today, I'm sure, that need that. Help us, Lord, that we might be your bright lights, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.